The main verse is verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And this verse is a very reassuring verse, isn't it? Because if we are able to discern and to recognize our Lord and our Savior's voice, then it means we belong to Him, right? It's one evidence that we are saved, you see. Now, those who say, Pastor, how can I know that I'm saved? Of course, there are many ways whereby we can know we are saved. One, of course, is do we bear the fruits of salvation? Do we review the marks of grace in our life? And one is, are we able to discern and recognize and understand, right, God's voice or God's word? Now, that is another way whereby we know. And so over here, in verse, and it's good for us to look at verse 3 to 5 in the context. In verse 3 to 5, we are told, the voice of another, you know, his own people will not hear or answer, but only his own. To him the potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. The Lord knows us through and through. He knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. And he calls us by name. He knows us by name. That means he knows us very intimately. We have a relationship with him. Right? And he leadeth them out, right, to green pastures, still waters, to good places. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Right? They can understand, they can recognize, they can identify, discern his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So over here, how to follow the Lord Jesus? Well, you follow the Lord Jesus first by being able to recognize his voice. Not just recognize, but also understand, right, his voice. So in verse 28 and 29 tells us how we must be born again to know the Savior's voice before we can really know and understand and recognize the Savior's voice. We must belong to him. We must be born again. Okay? And this we read in verse 28 and 29. And here in verse 27 it says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Our salvation is sure and secure. We are safe and sound forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? If we are his sheep. And no man, no one can pluck us out of his hand. Again, that is very comforting. Not only do we know we are saved when we are able to recognize our Savior's voice, our Savior himself, knowing us by name, assures us no one can change our name, right, to something else. We bear the surname of the Lord Jesus. In other words, we are born in this family, we are his children forever. Just like we are children, they bear our name, right? And once they are our children, they are our children for life. We love our children. And even though they may misbehave, of course we love them, we will correct them, but we will never disown our children, right? Loving parents will never do that. And if that's the case with us, how much more our Father in heaven? And it says here, and this is the assurance. Not only do we know them in a very real and personal way, He says, I know you, and no one can pluck you out of my hand. And the word pluck here is significant. You know, please don't just imagine that the word pluck here is like plucking, right, a banana, a very light action. Actually, the word pluck here in the original is a very, very strong action, very fierce one. In fact, the same word is used previously. If you look at verse 12. Now, it says here in verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf, take note of this word, catcheth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The wolf catcheth. The word catch here is the same word for pluck. And the wolf that catches, right, its prey. Well, I mean, the seizing of the prey, right? The biting of it, the grabbing of it, and the tearing of the prey. These are very forceful, fierce and forceful action. And when the Lord Jesus says, no one can pluck, no one can catch, no one can snatch, no one can tear you away, right? From me, no one, not even the wolf. Of course, the wolf is symbolic of the devil. Not even the devil can do this. No one, right, can tear you out of my hand. And my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. He's all powerful. No one is more powerful than him. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. Right? So this is a great comfort. I mean, we must be born again. And we must know the preciousness of our birth into God's family in the name and power of our Savior, which will cause us to be very grateful. Right? Very grateful people, because we don't deserve to belong to God's family. We don't deserve to be saved. We deserve to be condemned. And now that the Lord has saved us, oh, how we owe our life to Him. And we must desire to follow Him all the days of our life, no matter what. Right? In good times and bad times, we follow. Recently, I had a member, she's no longer here, she went back to Korea. She's a Korean who came to Singapore to work. She opened a Korean restaurant. And 20 over years, she was here. She came not as a believer, but while in Singapore, she heard the gospel, she believed. And then she joined us, joined True Life, a BP church. And she was so happy after she got converted. I can see the joy of the Lord in her face. And she would read the Bible so avidly and fervently, you know, underlying important verses. And she spoke of the Lord with such joy. And then she shared with others the good news of salvation she had received. One point in time, no meaning in life, cooking for people. But now she has found meaning in life. So at first her life was very joyful. And things went very well, even her restaurant business. But lately, the last couple of years, everything went down quite quickly. And she said, Pastor, I lost a lot of money. And business not doing well at all. I have to close my shop. She said, sadly, after over 20 years. And I'm returning home to Korea. But one thing I noticed, and also she shared with me, you know, although these things happen in my life, and these are bad events which make me very sad, right, and sorrowful, and I've lost so much, yet I'm so thankful that I found the Lord Jesus. And she said, the reason I now know why the Lord sent me to Singapore, right? It's not about making money or the restaurant. It's to save me. And it's in Singapore that I found the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is most precious of all. So, no regrets. So, she says, Pastor, I'm returning to Korea, please pray for me. And the first thing I want you to pray for is that I will find a good church. And so this is it. She knows, right, her Lord. She knows the Savior's voice, despite all the noise that's in the world, the bad noise, right, out there, difficult times. Yet, whether in good times or in bad times, she follows the Lord. Regardless, that's a good sign she is born again. And I assure her that the Lord will take care of you. Don't worry. The Lord will provide for your needs regardless. Right? Go in peace and go with the strength of the Lord and keep trusting in Him. And she says, yes, yes. So this is what it means, right, to follow the Lord, to be able to recognize the voice of our Savior, no matter what the circumstances. And even out there in difficult times, people may tempt you. If your God is so real, how come you are in such a bad situation? And then you yourself may doubt, you know, I'm God's child, how come all these things are happening to me? Such doubts may come, such temptations may come, but the still small voice of the Lord is always there. Holy Spirit resides in us, will convict us, and will assure us God is with us until the very end. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All these good verses will flood our minds and our hearts to give us the faith and the strength, right, to go on. Just take God at His word, no matter what. And we press on. So this is what it means over here. Okay? And so those who can hear God's voice and recognize it must be those who belong to Him. Right? Believers. The elect. Those who are unbelievers, they cannot hear. They cannot understand. They cannot recognize the Lord's voice. It's a totally different language to them, the unbelievers. They can't see, neither can they receive the truth. And we see this in the context in verse 24 and 20 to 26, right? 24 to 26. Because here, Jesus walked in the temple in the Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? How long dost thou make us to doubt? Jesus never makes people to doubt. When the Lord Jesus taught, He taught very clearly. When Jesus taught, He taught with what? Authority. He doesn't make people confused. The scribes and the Pharisees have confusing messages. In fact, they have multiple, many, many interpretations. And then even the rabbis among themselves, they always debate, right? This view, that view, and this other view. And then when they teach with, you know, with their own human reasoning, and with many, many views, view one, view two, view three, view four, and then they never come to the truth. Never come to a sure and certain conclusion in the light of Scripture. But when Jesus came, He says, thus saith the Lord, it is written. You have heard this said by such and such a rabbi in times past, but I say to you, and He taught with authority, very clear. Right? And so He never caused people to doubt. He spoke very clearly and very biblically. And many a time He used the Hebrew Scriptures as His authority. And He Himself is authority because He's the author of His own Scriptures. Right? So that's why He spoke with a straight tongue. Yes is yes, no is no. Thus saith the Lord, it is written, and I say to you. And this is it. And whatever He says does not contradict Scripture or the truth at all. Well, people were amazed. And yet these people can say, this is quite a while already, after in the course of Jesus' ministry, Jesus has taught publicly, openly, and many times he went to the temple to teach. They have heard him already multiple times. And yet here they can say, how long dost thou make us to doubt? They cannot get it. They cannot understand. Even after Jesus preached and taught so clearly to them. And then they ask, if thou be the Christ, if you are really the Messiah, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. You know, I think if you were the Lord Jesus right now, Jesus is so patient, you know, with people. If it were me, I would heave such a heavy sigh. Tell us plainly. Jesus had already told them plainly that he is Son of God. He is Messiah. He is Son of David. He is the Savior that is to come. Tell us plainly. He has already told them plainly so many times. Yet, they cannot catch it. They cannot see it and receive it. And now they still ask this question. Tell us plainly. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. I mean, Jesus was already as plain can be. Right? And the context tells us of this. You see, you go back to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 58. And over here, and I think it's good for us to look at the context of this verse where Jesus declared, right, he is the Son of God himself. In verse 51 it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Right? You believe my words, you will live. I mean, is it so difficult to understand this? Jesus speaking in plain language. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Jesus spoke so graciously, so lovingly, so truthfully, so plainly, and then, you know, and he was giving them good news. You believe in me, you will never die, you never see death. It's a good word to them. And then they say, now we know you have a devil. You are demon possessed, right? Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham, you appeal to Abraham. Well, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. By faith, Abraham saw ahead, believed in the Messiah and the Savior to come, and got saved. He saw my day, right? My coming, my redemptive work on the cross, and my resurrection from the dead. Although it has not happened yet, he saw it by faith because God prophesied and promised, and what God says will surely come true. So Abraham believed, you see, the word of God. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, truthfully, I say unto you, before Abraham was, before Abraham existed, I am. I already existed. I'm God. I'm your creator. I am Jehovah. And they understood what Jesus said, because what did they do? They took up stones to stone him. Because to them it's blasphemy. But Jesus spoke very plainly. I am Jehovah. I am your God. I am your Savior. I was the one who spoke to Abraham. And we know the Lord spoke to Abraham in person through a theophany or Christophany. Right? We know that. So Jesus showed them, told them very plainly who he is. Right? And not only told them plainly, you know, he also proved that he is God himself and the Son of God through what? His good works. Not only his good works, but also his powerful works. All his miracles attested to his person. Who can forgive sins but God? And yet Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And then they question, they criticize. And then Jesus says, all right, to prove to you I have the power to forgive sins, I will heal this paralyzed man. Right? To show there's power in my word, power in my person, in my being. I am God. And so many other miracles he performed that proved, right, he is God. I mean, it's clear as day. Jesus is their God, the Son of David, their Messiah, the Savior is to come. And yet, they can't receive it. So blind. The unbelievers are blind. And not only just hear that Jesus showed it so clearly, say, tell us plainly. Jesus told them plainly. He showed it also by his powerful works and miracles. And then, again, Jesus told them, right? I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. The one and the same God. Again, the Jews understood Jesus' words, but refused to believe. They took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. But that's the truth. Jesus, yes, was, yes, fully, totally in the flesh, a human being. But at the same time, he was also fully God, right? Both God and man in one person. And these things were so clear. And yet they refused to believe. I think in a way they can understand. It's not that, I mean, this is not difficult language. The Jews understood the words of Jesus. They knew the meaning of what he said, right? My Father and I are one. Before Abraham was, I am. They can understand. The problem is this. They refuse to receive it, right? To believe it. And that is the problem. You're always full of doubts, full of questions, full of skepticism, full of criticism. They are just totally against the Lord, wanting to find fault with him, no matter what. His good words, his good deeds, nothing bad. Like what, people would say, bo tai chi, tui tai chi. Nothing wrong, and they want to, again, find fault, no matter what. Well, that's the problem with us, right? With sinful human beings. And we were once upon a time like this. But it's by God's grace. How are we able to see? How are we able to believe and to receive? And how is it now we are able to understand and appreciate God's voice, God's word, and be able to take classes in FEBC and study deep, deep things, and then find joy in it, right? And understand. And that's because of the Holy Spirit that is within us. initially, when we got converted, and it's not because we are intelligent or we have a good heart, and therefore we are able to see and believe. It's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts already, convicting us of our sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and then giving us the faith, right, to trust in the Lord Jesus. So from beginning to end, the very fact that you are able to see and believe and to recognize God's voice and to know Him is all His grace, right? His grace, His good work in our hearts. So we thank God for that. And that's why, I mean, how can we not serve this God who has given His all to us from beginning to end? So already, they say, tell us plainly. Already, Jesus told them very plainly in plain language in their own Hebrew or Aramaic tongue. Right? They understand all these things. And even in Greek, the lingua franca is not in some foreign language. It's in their own local language. And not only that, he also gave a lot of visual aids. He even spoke in parables. You know, parables are to make, you know, spiritual things, profound things, simple to understand using natural events and the things of life. Jesus made things so simple, yet they cannot, right, receive it. And then also a whole lot of visual aid, the powerful miracles he performed. Visual aids, things to hear, easily heard, seen, experienced, and yet they cannot hear His voice. And this, of course, is taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? And here, Paul gives a doctrinal explanation why the natural man cannot see or cannot hear or understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 11, it says here, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Right? The natural man, the unbeliever, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Right? Spiritually understood. So, and the more we grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, the more we grow in our knowledge of Him and of the Scriptures, the more we will be able to discern, right, His voice. And then the strangest voice. Out there are a lot of false teachers. And in the last days, we are already told, false Christ, false prophets, false preachers and teachers galore. How not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, you need to know your Savior. You already know Him, right? But you must grow to know Him so that you can discern, right? Sometimes the deception is very deceptive, right? Sounds good, but is it really? I mean, something is off. You are able to discern. Something is wrong somewhere. And then when you search the Scriptures, you find it. The Holy Spirit also will lead you to discover, what this person sounds good, but it's not right. It's very deadly. And how do you know it? Through the Scriptures. And of course, the Spirit in your heart will guide you in the truth to be able to tell. You know, recently, not too long ago, members of True Life receive an email. Quite a number receive this email, supposedly from me. And this email, I mean, has, and the email address is has my name, right? But it's not my email address. Someone, you know, made it up, right, with my name, with an email address with my name, and then sent out. I do not know how he got the address of so many of our church members and sent out to them. And then I'm supposed to be the one speaking, and they read it, and I told them to do a certain thing, right? In this email, I told them, I want you to help me and do a certain thing. Of course, you know, when members would like to assist the pastor and help them, help him when there's a need. So in this email, I have a need. I need you to help me. Please help me do this. But then the way it is worded, doesn't sound like me. So I'm glad the members, and I'm glad no one got scammed. It's a scam. I'm glad no one got scammed. Because they say, hey, this doesn't sound like pastor. I better call him and check whether it's true. And sure enough, well, I didn't send out such an email, and I'm glad no one got tricked, right, and got scammed. At least the members know the pastor's voice, right? The way he would speak or put things across. So we also must be like this. We must be able to recognize our shepherd's voice. Somebody may be an imposter, a false Christ, false prophets coming in the name of Christ and saying the Lord has sent me, and then he says certain things, seem like it is good, but actually there is poison. So you must be very, very discerning. Very, very discerning. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's also interesting. I don't know whether you have heard of this lady, Ayan Hirsi Ali. Have you heard of this lady? Ayan Hirsi Ali. She was born in Somalia in 1969. And out there in the public square, she is quite well known. Right? She was born a Muslim, but she fled her country, and now she's an American citizen. She was Muslim and later became an atheist, and now she's a Christian. Just converted in 2023. And she was quite well known in the atheistic circles. And she was also well known in speaking against Christianity, together with the four horsemen of New Atheism. Do you know of the four horsemen? Have you heard of Richard Dawkins? Right, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens. These are the men, right? Hawkins and Hitchens and Denny and Harris. These are the four horsemen, atheists who are very outspoken, who speak against Christians and Christianity, right? And these are the four horsemen of New Atheism. And Ayan Hirsi Ali was said to be the fourth horseman or horsewoman, right? Are very outspoken and ridiculing and mocking, right, Christianity and Christians for believing in Jesus and in the Bible. But in 2023, she was soundly converted. And now she speaks for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, you know, when I was an atheist, I was famous, right? And I was out there speaking against Christianity. And of course, a lot of people praised her. And she had a following in social media. Dawkins was her mentor. But she says, my life was very miserable. And she went into depression. And she says, atheism gave me no answer, no cure, until I found the Lord Jesus Christ. I humbled myself and believed in Him. And then now life takes on, you know, now life has meaning. There's joy and peace in my heart. And there was an interview. There was a moderator, and then he and Dawkins was interviewed together with her. And in this interview, Dawkins was, you know, questioning her. You know, you were one of us, Dawkins said. And he's quite shocked that she has become a Christian. And then Dawkins asks her, surely you don't believe, right, Jesus was born of a virgin? Surely you cannot, it's not possible for you to believe that Jesus died on the cross, you know, and then rose from the dead. Surely you can't believe in that. If you're a Christian, I can see how you can be a political Christian. And there are those who are political Christians. They are Christians only in name, Christians only to promote their politics, but not truly Christians in the sense of having a relationship with Christ. And Ayan Hershey Ali says, no, I know Him. I have a personal relationship with Him. I believe in His virgin birth. I believe that He lived His miracles and that He died for me and He rose from the dead. I believe all these things. And Richard Dawkins was just dumbfounded. He says, I can't see how you can believe such nonsense. And she told him, you know, Richard, I was once like you, right? Not believing all these things, thinking all these things are nonsense. I was mocking and ridiculing Christians like you. But now no more. And I know where you come from because I was like you. You begin on a different premise. You say that there's nothing out there. There's no God. And that's why all these things don't make sense to you, right? But she says, now I operate from a different starting point. I choose to believe that there is something, not nothing. There's something. Something that is greater than us. Right? And of course, it's none other than God. I believe God exists. And He has revealed Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now that I begin with God and with Christ, all these things, and He is creator, He's so powerful. All these things make sense to me. Before it was nonsense. Like you think it's nonsense. But now it makes sense because my starting point is different from you right now. That's right. She now knows, you see. She now can hear and recognize the Savior's voice, understand these things, these truths, and she's not ashamed to follow Him. To follow Him against, you know, these atheists who still ridicule the Lord Jesus. So if you can, it's in YouTube, you know, her testimony, her interviews, how she became a Christian, and that is very encouraging, right, to see and hear that the Lord is gracious to save her, such a person. And this is one example. How my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So are you able to hear God's voice? Another historical event that tells us how the believers can hear and understand and discern and recognize God's voice and come to the truth. You know, in the first four centuries, we don't have a a biblical canon yet. You know, a canon is a set of books that is the standard, right? Standard of a Christian faith. In the Old Testament, the canon is there already. The 39 books of the Hebrew Scriptures are our canon. But in the New Testament, in the first century, the apostles were writing, right? The inspired books, the Gospels and the Epistles. And then finally, John. And the Lord did not say, did not tell his people that there are what? 27 books, right? Of the New Testament that will be your canon, right? The New Testament canon. Nowhere in the Bible it says 27 books. How did we come to the 27 books to be the canonical scriptures, no more, no less, and it's fixed? And mind you, in those days, after the apostles passed away, in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries, there were false apostles, false teachers, a whole lot of heretics. Those of you who have taken a course on heresies and orthodoxy would know the plethora of heresies in those early centuries, where, and the believers in those days fought the good fight of faith, hammered the doctrine of Christ down so clearly and forcefully, and no one. And now we know what the doctrine of Christ is, right? Through the creeds and the confessions in those days. But then there were these false books, right? Pseudepigrapha, false writings circulating in the name of the apostles, like the Gospel of Thomas, the Acts of Peter, right? And then you have the infancy narratives of Jesus, and even the Gospel of Judas. Judas also wrote the Gospel, and a whole lot, over 100 of these so-called biblical texts that claim to be God's Word. And of course, the truly inspired books were circulated, right? And then all these false books were also circulating, claiming to be written by the apostles, claiming to be the gospel, claiming to be the truth. So how did the believers in those days tell and know for sure it is this one and not that one? You see, that is when the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised, right? When I go, I will send you another comforter, a parakletos. Parakletos also has the idea of counselor. It's legal terminology over here, like a lawyer who is your advocate, who gives you good counsel, tell you what is right and wrong, guide you to the law, all right, to the truth. A good lawyer will do that. The Holy Spirit comes to be your counselor, infallible counselor. And his counsel is also very comforting. So that's why we have in our Bible, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, right? Another comforter whom I will send to you. His counsel is very comforting because he will guide you into all truth. All truth. And he's the Spirit of truth. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So the scriptures are all what? God-breathed words, right? Spirit-inspired words. So the believers in those days, and the believers in those days were not carnal. They were very spiritual. Because in those days, in the first four centuries, to believe in Jesus, you must be ready to what? To die. Because of persecution, not only from the Romans, but also from the Jews, from the world. And the Christians there, in the midst of such immense, intense suffering and persecution, their faith was genuine. And not only that, they were very spiritual. They were full of the Holy Spirit. So, when all these books are circulating, when the Gospel of Matthew is read, or the Gospel of John, you can see, this is my Savior speaking. This is God's Word. They hear and they recognize the Savior's voice. The quality of inspiration of the scriptures is there. They can tell it. And then there are these false books circulating. And then they read about, you know, the teachings and even the stories of Jesus. And then these are weird stories, very weird. A stranger's voice they will not hear. But it's not my Jesus. How come my Jesus is so immoral? How come my Jesus is doing bad things? How come this Jesus that is in this, you know, that I read here is promoting homosexuality? You know, very strange things. And so all these many false writings were rejected, right? And not used. But the inspired Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they know it's God's word. They receive it. They hear the shepherd's voice, they follow, and not only receive it, believe it, and then they copy many copies of it, right? And together with the epistles of Paul, and of course the rest of the New Testament, all these, and finally, there was this consensus. In the 4th century, they all, right, finally made a declaration. And this is not just from a few people in the council. This is a grassroots consensus by the believers. And then, of course, the churches all over were represented by the bishops, right? And these bishops were genuine pastors. They bore the scars of their persecution, and they will meet together. Right now, we have to put it on paper, right? To declare what are the inspired New Testament books. And finally, in the Council of Carthage in 397, it was finalized. Right? These are the list of inspired books that will make the New Testament. And nobody objected. All agreed, and then it was fixed. And we don't add to it, we don't subtract from it. And we today also receive these words. Because when we study the New Testament, all these books, we see how they are so harmonious, right? There is this unity among the books. And this agreement. And we see the voice of the Lord and our shepherd in the teachings, in the words, in the doctrines of these books. That's why we receive it. East 27. So that's how, right? We can hear and recognize, identify our Savior's voice, and also know His words. So this is a wonderful thing that we can we need to understand. And so it's not that we are thrown out into the deep end and without any direction and we do not know where to go or what to do. If we meet with any kind of difficulty or sort of things are thrown at us and we have no guidance. No, we have a sure and certain compass that will point in the right direction. Thank God we have His Word, not only inspired, but preserved for us. In all its purity, kept pure in all ages by the special providence of God. And again, how can we tell? How can we know it's this one and not that one? Not all Bibles are the same. There are Bibles out there that say different things, right? In quite a number of verses, they contradict. How do I know which one is right, which one is wrong? And not through our own human intellect. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Again, we go to God's word. Did God promise to preserve His words? Yes. How much? To what extent? Now the Lord tells us, to the jot and tittle, 100%. Okay, Lord, you say so, I believe. Surely your promise is true. And you have the power to preserve your words throughout time. And how can we tell? Now every out there, you know, this Bible, that Bible claims to be holy Bible, your word. But then there are these contradictions or differences. One reads this and then another one reads that and they don't agree. And it affects doctrine. It affects our understanding of you. And there's some who say that this part of Scripture is not Scripture. Like the whole passage of the woman taken in adultery, it's not Scripture. Never happened. Jesus never did this. Last 12 verses of Mark also, not Scripture. 1 John 5:7, the verse on the classic verse on the Trinity, are not God's Word. And many other verses. How can I know for sure? Oh, thank God. You don't need to depend on the academy. Those who claim to have PhDs, and then we tell you what the Word of God is. How do I know you can be trusted? You mean a PhD? Because you have a PhD, you can tell me? This is God's Word, not any human literature. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. I must go to God's Word for guidance. Holy Spirit in me also, I have to pray. Holy Spirit in me will guide me into the truth. And I read from God's Word, that God's Word is preserved. Right? By His singular care and providence. And I must have a spiritual mind. Not use my own human intellect, come up with my own rules, and then to judge God's Word. Who am I to judge God's Word? God's Word must judge me. And then I find in God's Word, God tells us how He preserved His words. The principles of identifying His texts. I would encourage you in the latest Burning Bush, there's an article I've written, why we believe that God has preserved His words. Right? And in there are 7 biblical axioms, all from God's Word, to help us know, identify. And these are all, the principles are all from God's Word, not from any human imagination or concoction, right? From God's Word. The promise is there, the principles are there, and then the Holy Spirit in us, and when we apply all these things with a spiritual mind and heart, we can recognize, this is it. This is the truth. This is God's Word. The passage on the story of the woman taking adultery and how Jesus, showed mercy and also repel all these self-righteous Pharisees who were trying to catch him and trying to destroy him. Well, how to get out of that? Well, I see the wisdom of the Lord Jesus, His righteousness, right? His mercy as well. Wow. And then finally, he asked the woman, "Has anyone condemned you?" "No, Lord." And Jesus can see her heart. Yeah, she is repentant. She confessed Jesus as Lord. And then Jesus, so graciously and mercifully said to her, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Wow. Surely that is my Savior speaking. He is so righteous, so just, so full of wisdom. And at the same time, so gracious and merciful and has the power to say, "Go, I don't condemn you, neither do I. Right? Go and sin no more." Surely this is the truth. Surely this is Scripture. And yet I had a lecturer in FEBC when I was a student who says, "I will never preach from this text." I was so proud. Oh, I thank God we have this text to show the fullness of Christ's righteousness and also what love, right, for sinners such as us. Of course, if the text at the end says, "Go and sin some more," that's a stranger's voice. Wrong. Go and sin no more. That is such a wonderful sound, right? And we who have the Holy Spirit will follow. We'll be able to see and recognize. Okay? So that's how we tell. So may Lord help us to appreciate this, understand this more and more, not only in terms of our knowledge, but also in terms of our life, our daily living. How to be able to know the Lord, see Him, recognize His voice, know that He's speaking, know His will, and then, okay, this is it, I follow Him. Right? This is from Him, I'm sure. And not a stranger's voice. So this is something you must experience for yourself. Right? And it's a wonderful thing. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee, O Lord, for the truth that is in Thy Word, which gives us so much knowledge and wisdom, so that we might live rightly with Thee and to live a life that's pleasing Thy sight. So please grant us the grace to do so and help us to grow in our relationship with Thee so that we will hear Your voice always loud and clear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.